Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Health Matters, a program for those who are sick and in need of a physician, of body and soul. Thank you for tuning in to Lutheran Radio UK. This is your host, Juliana Krieger, and we're back with Health Matters, where we look at the psychological, social, and spiritual implications that illnesses have on patient and family. We spent the first half speaking to Dr. Andrew Nicholson about the practical and more physical implications. After that, Pastor Lynn Hansen tells us of the spiritual struggles that chronic and terminal patients face. But both doctor and pastor also want to give guidance and comfort to the weary and burdened soul, and to remind them that God is with them and for them, no matter what comes their way. Thank you for all your responses last week. Today we'll be exploring the aspects of aging. Dr. Andrew, scientifically speaking, can we make a distinction between aging and getting old?
Aging is a process we all undergo as we are born. Surely we must die. However, I think the most important thing about getting old is that you need to do it and embrace it in as good a spirit as possible. You just have to look in the mirror to realise that you're not the man or woman that you were. But in many ways, even though the body seems to age, the personality and the person that you are quite often is more rounded and more acceptable than the somewhat callow youth you once were. It's important that we realise that ageing is a process that we all must go through, that teenagers need reminding that sometimes that people are old, but they were young once, and that really when you look at somebody who's old, look upon their life as in their totality, not as the old, somewhat decrepit person you see in front of them. As it says in one of the poems, think of them having their first kiss rather than the old, somewhat dried out person in front of you.
When does ageing begin?
Well, life is said to be a sexually transmitted fatal disease. And in many ways, we start to grow old as soon as we're born. However, you can see that physically, human beings are probably as physically grown up as far as they can be at the age of 25. There's a significant amount of maturation of the brain that occurs between 16 and 25, so that risk-taking is much less of a problem over 25. People are said to be emotionally mature probably around 45, but certainly after the 40s, things tend to go downhill. We all can suddenly find that the newspaper seems to get, the print seems to get smaller and smaller, and our arms seem to have to be longer and longer to be able to read it. We can see that our teeth perhaps are not as in good a condition as we'd perhaps have liked, and we'd perhaps wished we'd cleaned them more frequently in the past, or perhaps eaten a more sensible diet. We no longer really wish to exercise at the stage, at the level that we had before, and we quite often gradually get a middle-aged paunch. However, these are things that occur in some people and not in others. And there seems to be a sort of genetic element. We all know people who look 20 years younger than the numbers that are associated with their birthdays. But in fact, a lot of that is just having the good luck of having good parents. I think more importantly, it's how we manage our old age that is important. Certainly, making sure you go to your optician, making sure that your teeth are in good nick are important. But also keeping fit. It's imperative that your muscles in your lower limbs are as good as they can be, because it's important that you're able to get up from a chair, for instance, and be able to walk around safely. Most people's falls that occur in the elderly are because of very simple things, such as poor chiropody, their toenails are terrible, or they've not actually kept up their exercises, so that the muscles in their thighs, their quadriceps, are weak, and so they're more prone to fall over. A very simple test you can do to see whether this is important is called a get-up-and-go test. I'll describe this to you. You just take an ordinary chair without any arms to it. You get someone to sit in it. And then they have to stand up without using any aids, no pressing on any tables. They stand up and stand still for 15 seconds. And then they walk forwards 3 metres, turn round, walk back, stop and sit down again. If they could do that in safety, then they're not at really real risk of falling. Another important problem with the elderly is depression. Quite often people, as they get older, get more and more depressed. And it's important that we recognise these symptoms as doctors, especially as in the elderly, they can quite often tend to somatise. In other words, instead of coming along and saying, I don't like waking up, doctor, I don't feel good about the future, they'll come and complain about the constipation or something physical like that. It's important we as doctors are aware of that. Dementia is another problem that can occur when people get confused and are unable to remember what's happened recently. And this can be a great pressure on the relatives and also on the poor patient themselves. And this needs managing as well as it can be.
Well, there's no way of pulling the handbrake on the ageing process, it seems. But what should we do as individuals to age in a better manner?
As I mentioned before, keeping your weight at a reasonable level, eating a quality diet, making sure that you know your GP and he's checked you out for the simple problems that may present, and keeping as fit as possible are important. However, there's that wonderful poem about ladies who get old who will go and wear purple hats. I still think it's important, especially in this country, which is known for its eccentricities, that we go and wear our purple hats and have our bit of fun as we drift off into our old age.
What practical advice would you give to the ageing and his or her family?
I think one of the problems we have in this country is that we're relatively well off as a population. But it seems to do in the elderly, it gives you permission to be isolated, to live on your own, not be in contact with other people. It's so important to think about speaking to somebody every day, belonging to clubs, belonging to all sorts of things, being part of a congregation, being part of a church is an important part of getting old. After all, even the most concrete of individuals realises as they're getting older that they may end up having to meet their maker. And that sometimes, at some time, people will want to embrace the religious side of life. It is imperative that patients, people are encouraged to do that, and churches open up their doors to the people who are getting old. Exercise is, I mentioned, quite important. It seems that we need to exercise for about 22 to 30 minutes per day. And exercise really needs to be enabling you to actually get quite sweaty. I think as we get older, sometimes we say we've exercised, and we actually haven't to any great extent. We've gone for a walk, but it's just actually a slow amble. We need to walk properly at a fast speed and to get sweaty doing it. Certainly doing half of this as anaerobic exercise and half as aerobic exercise is a good idea. So light weights and walking for 15 to 20 minutes per day is a very good idea.
Doctor, science has developed in such a way that we're living longer, as you mentioned before, but is it really worth it?
It is certainly true that those people I saw as being old when I started medicine 35 years ago, in other words, the late 70s, would now think of themselves as being in late middle age, and that people are naturally reaching late 80s and 90s. However, it seems that just as we are living longer, we are dying longer as well, and in our dying we seem to take several years sometimes to gradually slide down the slope to our death, whereas beforehand it was much quicker. Certainly in some countries, half of the bankruptcies are associated with paying for the last 6 months of life. It seems that we as society are managing this less well than we are managing our illnesses. Certainly in this country, the ability to care for patients as they are approaching their death has been made substantially worse by the Shipman investigation. We are no longer allowed really to think of the doctrine of double intent, the idea and notion of enabling somebody pain to be got rid of or at least ameliorated, despite the fact that it would shorten their lives. Now we really can't do that for fear of being taken to court. And this is a great shame because many, many dying patients have died in agony because of this. And that's a great shame.
Thank you, Doctor. We'll take a break now. And when we come back, Pastor Lynn Hansen will speak to us of his experiences in the spiritual care of the aging. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages.
If you like what you're listening to, then let your contacts know about Lutheran Radio UK. Use the spread the word function on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, and tell your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Alternatively, you can write the emails of your contacts in the Tell a Friend field at the bottom of our main page, and we'll send them a personalised invitation to listen. Help us to proclaim the good news of Christ by telling others about Lutheran Radio UK. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, and we will keep you right up to date about our programmes.
If you would like to know more about the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England, then visit our website, www.lutheran.co.uk. On our comprehensive website, you can learn more about us, what we believe, and where we are, with direct links to all our congregations in England, Wales, and Scotland. We offer a schedule of all the activities that we're engaged with, and which you can attend to get to know more about our Lord Jesus Christ. Should you be interested, you can also find out more about Lutheran theology and Westfield House, the Theological College of the ELCE. If you would like to support our work, you can use our secured link. Visit www.lutheran.co.uk. ELCE, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.
Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. We hope that you are enjoying our program, because it's all about Christ and to all God's people.
You're with Health Matters again, and now Pastor Lynn Hansen speaks to us about the spiritual care of the aging. Welcome back, Pastor. How stressful does aging get to both patient and family?
I wanted to say aging is affliction. It really isn't. Aging is a gift. By the grace of God, we grow older. We live our lives considering each day a blessing from God. Scripture says we are to honor older people for their number of years, their experiences, and their wisdoms. When I listen to a person tell me their life story, their history, it amazes me how, with God's help, people persevered in this sin-filled world. Today is my mother's 92nd birthday. The other day, I called her and I was talking to her and I said, "Mom, when did your mom die? What year was that?" And she told me. And I asked her a little bit more about what I knew of her life when she was a young woman. And she had time to tell me about one of her experiences, an experience that took place in April of 1942. During the early years of the Second World War. My mother was pregnant with one of my older brothers, and the oldest of my brothers was 11 months old. So here she was, a young woman of just 22 years, great with child, 7 months along, and having an 11-month-old too. She was to travel from Nashville, Tennessee to Minneapolis, Minnesota, via Chicago, Illinois, by train. Oh, when we think of trains today, we think of the Eurostar, we think of bullet trains, we think of maglevs. We don't think of trains pulled by steam engines, stopping at every stop along the way. We don't think of passenger cars so filled with soldiers going off to war that many of them just sat on the floor or laid out or stretched out where they could. And how many young mothers think of traveling in those conditions, sitting in one seat, 7 months pregnant, holding an 11-month-old child? She traveled to Chicago, and she had to go from one station to another in downtown Chicago. She had all of her belongings in one suitcase. When I asked her about this, she says, "You know, I don't know how I did that. I could never do something like that today. But I found the station and I boarded another train and I made it to Minneapolis, where Uncle Gus picked me up and drove me to my home in North Dakota." Just as God gave that young mother the strength to travel across the United States, He gives us the strength to live out our days on earth. How many days we live, that's entirely up to God. But it is our responsibility to use them to His glory and to the edification of others. Before I became a hospital chaplain, I served a parish in southern Indiana. Longevity was a prominent gift in that parish. Often I said that there in that little parish that people weren't old until they turned 90, because there were so many folks in the church who were over 90 years old. But now as a hospital chaplain, the majority of patients I see are in their middle 60s, and they suffer from a wide range of afflictions of body, mind, and soul. And of course, one thing that they all comment on is getting older. Here's some of the sarcastic comments they make about getting older. One said, "These are supposed to be the best years of my life." Another said, "You live for retirement only to spend your time visiting doctors and laying in the hospital." The majority of them say, "I just can't do what I used to." And, "Where did all those years go?" Often they'll recount a birthday that took place 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago, and wondering what happened in the time between. Hearing these comments and more causes me to believe that aging is one lament that is common to the majority of people. We don't fear growing old. We fear the adverse effects of growing older. We fear loss. As one grows older, their body weakens physically and mentally. Old age brings with it loss of control, feelings of helplessness, loss of family, loss of friends, loss of home, loss of hope. God knows our needs, our wants, and our desires better than we do. He opens his hand and satisfies the needs of all of his creatures. The historical account of how Jesus cared for the widow of Nain comes to mind. Keep in mind, in Jesus' day, there was no public assistance. There were no welfare agencies. There was no such thing as an old age pension. The elderly relied entirely on their children for support. Listen to God's word from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 7. Luke wrote, "Soon afterwards, he," speaking of Jesus, "went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out. The man was the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, 'Do not weep.' Then he came up and touched the brier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, 'Young man, I say to you, arise.' And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, 'A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people.' And this report about him spread throughout the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country." Jesus raised that young man back to life to care for his mother, his aging mother. Jesus cares for us as we age. We may not always see the blessings that he bestows upon us, but they're there. One blessing I think that retirement and aging brings to us is that we have more time for our grandchildren, more time for each other, more time to enjoy activities that we never seemed we had time for while we are working. Don't become anxious about growing older. God will care for you. As we grow older, as we travel the long road of life, let us look unto the Lord. Don't look at your feet as you're walking down that path. Don't look at that rough road. Look to Jesus. Focus on eternity, not on our short life that we live here on earth. The Lord will keep you from evil. He will help you in life. He will help you persevere through the many trials and tribulations that come your way. Listen now to the words of Psalm 121. "I will lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Will you pray with me? Almighty God, until whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. In your mercy, look on those whose increasing years bring them weakness, anxiety, distress, or loneliness. Grant that they may always know care and respect, concern and understanding. Grant them willing hearts to accept help as their strength wanes. Increase their faith with the constant assurance of your love through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Receive God's blessing. The Almighty and Merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you now and forever. Amen. I encourage you to take time to read the Old Testament book of Ruth. Read the historical account of how God cared for Ruth, even unto her old age. Thank you again for listening. This is Chaplain Lynn Hansen saying so long for now.
Thank you, Pastor. Please send your comments, questions, and suggestions on our show to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. We'll do our best to reply to every message. The podcast of this show is available for download from the website lutheranradio.co.uk. You will find us under Program. When you're there, take a look at our other shows and stay tuned. Goodbye to you and God's blessings.